Blog Talk Radio.
We're shy of one horse.
You brought two too many.
Thank you.
Saturday afternoon.
Welcome to an abbreviated and sinus-ridden episode of Soul Tree Radio in the Raw. Finish draining my nose. See what else is coming out of my head. Soul Tree Radio in the Raw, the sinus-edited edition, proudly brought to you by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Meet all the good shit. Who, what, when, where, why, and how, right now at www.BASNNewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network, wherever they may be. Radio Reggie, the Orlando Ledbetter Show, Jones, Patrick Farrar, everybody else who's supposed to be out and about. Hope that you are safe and your loved ones are safe as well. Of course, that includes my man Pat Freeman and my yo, Bob, Pat, and Steph. Hope you guys are doing all well up there in Western New York. And you folks at home as well. Our brothers Ricky Hampton and Mike Robeson, hosts of the African American Athlete. Hope you all well with yours and safe. It's a fucked up time, y'all. So let's just get to whatever it is. Because my man, the bad man from the East Bay, is here, Gary Norris Gray. What's up, G?
Four more days. I can't wait to smoke in that office.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, but before we do that, we gotta do this before we do that, right?
For almost two decades, the Black Athlete Sports Network has served as the definitive source for information about the black athlete. Whether it be historical or analytical, BASN has always celebrated the contributions of sport's most innovative and unique being, the black athlete. In 2016, as we relaunch blackathlete.com, look for more of the same from our unique set of writers and historians. We have been and always will be the soul of sports. We are BASN.
We are BASN.
Yes, we are. What's it looking like where you are out in Cali right now?
What is that again?
What's it looking like where you are in Cali right now?
Okay, they are trying to recall the governor of the state of California. Now, Michael, this is gonna happen all over the country. Right? What's happening? See, what we have let happen is that these insurrectionists,
yep,
which are all over the country and which African Americans told you about 10 years ago and you ignored us.
Yep.
So here we are, 2021, and they're trying to dismantle every,
yep,
Democratic government that we have. Now, Governor Newsom,
mm-hmm,
wanted to do something to corral this virus.
Right.
You have those right wingers who say, I'm not saying anything else.
Right.
They're the ones that want to recall this governor.
That's right.
This is crazy. This is outright crazy.
I won't call it, Gary, I won't call it so much crazy as it is another distraction. Okay, like you said, there's only four more days left to this bullshit, at least at this level. But we know,
yeah,
there's a lot more dick dastardly shit coming down the pike. Because...
Right.
They called it.
Michael, you're telling me with the FBI and the CIA and the gate, whatever you want to put together.
Yep.
Did I know about what happened on January 6th? I can't believe that.
Look, Gee, look what's going on right now. Now, we know the mainstream media is bought and paid for. But let's be clear on something. They're asking representatives of Congress if somebody was in cahoots with the motherfuckers that set this up.
Thank you. You're walking through the Senate,
get out of here. Exactly. So this is not some cry wolf. This isn't some far blown conspiracy shit. Ted Cruz should be in front of a fucking firing squad by now for the shit he tried to do. And there's at least three or four of them who were stirring the pot so much that shit was boiling over while the action was hot. And now those are the same motherfuckers like, let's talk about healing and all that. Get the fuck out of here. This ain't no kumbaya moment. That's a
I said, look, this guy needs to be arrested for treason.
That's right. This is just like Al Pacino. This is just like Al Pacino in Injustice for All, G. That fucking guy should go to fucking jail. That's exactly right. All of the fuckers who participated in that.
This is what the lawyer said. This is what the lawyer said. I talked to him the other day. He said that you have to prove to this guy that he directed these people to do it. He said, if you go to court, it's going to be very difficult to prove. I said, you gotta be kidding me.
Well, look, I don't pretend to be a lawyer, G, but I'll tell you this. Our senior trip back in the day in 1968 was to Washington, D.C. Our senior class at junior high school 143 was led by somebody, Mr. Yuko, who led us to one of our local representatives representing the state of New York, where we had a meeting and I dozed off and Bruce Smith hit me in the shoulder and woke me up because we were leaving early. Got up 6 o'clock in the morning to take the buses to Washington for our senior trip. So I know that you need somebody to get in. So to the things that they kept on speculating about, okay, who were the people responsible? Just look at the visitor roll. Who let these motherfuckers in? And they got the camera, then they got the facial recognition software that can solve all that problem. They got that. They got the technology right there. Stop lying to everybody about what the fuck is going on and go right back and retrace your steps and pick out the motherfuckers that were there. That's all.
Yep. And then, it's real funny because this clown,
turning 20 minutes up on his ass. Which representatives were involved, go back to them and grill their ass and find out what the fuck is up. You know, a lot of people think this is involved from a standpoint of, well, it's not that big a deal because it happened in House and Congress. No, it's a very big deal because it happened in Congress. And because he has those questions need to be, as we say, ask the question. What the fuck is going on here? And that's the next question. What the fuck was going on? Okay, an attempted coup. Don't have to be cute about it. That's what the fuck was going on, an attempted coup. Ashton Kutcher, that punk ass, he went to Saudi Arabia with the express purpose of verifying that if the coup was successful, they would come back here. Saudi Arabia would recognize the new government, whatever form it was in.
Yep.
That's what they're not telling everybody. That's the part that would definitely blow the seal off shit and let you know that there's some meat in the sandwich of conspiracy.
It boggles my mind that you had a rally that day and you tell 11,000 police officers, oh, you got your day off today.
Thank you.
You don't do that.
Right.
When you have a rally in the same city, what,
mm-hmm.
are you crazy?
Just answered everybody's question, dog.
My question now is, what is the end game? What is the end game to this?
That's right. There's an end game coming because they're not finished yet. This is going to go
beyond
Trump leaving office because you got to ask the when. Okay, the when, we saw the first evidence of this on January 6th when they tried to bum rush everything. But there's another layer to this. We know that because now they're looking for people. They've arrested some people. But think about this, G. What are they charging them with? If they charge them like they charge white men, then it's bullshit. It's fines. Maybe somebody gets 6 months here, a year there. If they charge them as black men, their black asses would be under a motherfucking jail. Because then they would say these are federal crimes with a minimum 6 years jail and a maximum of 20, at least 20 years in jail.
Michael, those guys that entered the Senate House never did exit the Senate House. Let me explain this to the people.
Please.
When you're in a government building, there are only two ways in and out. That's it. And if one of these guys entered the building, they were escorted out of the building. Now, my question is, why were you escorting these fools out of the building?
Yes.
They should have been arrested right then before they exited the building.
That's right. So, we are talking about an inside job. There's no speculation that it might have been. No, it has been. It's a question now of the level of inside job. But we know they couldn't have done A without B. They couldn't have gotten people in there unless there was compliance to let folks in, whether they be part of a tour or whatever the fuck it is, so that they could get the lay of the land and mark their specifics as to what they were going to do when they attacked. So we know these things, they're not speculation. This shit is real, what we're talking about right now. Which brings us to the where. They went and did it at the Capitol. They did it at the Capitol for symbolic reasons. I mean, for 200 years prior to, since the 1812 War, or War of 1812, when they burnt the fucking Capitol the fuck down, nobody had tried that shit. And Trump did not condemn the action. Did you hear him say anything even remotely close to any kind? Nothing. Not a fucking word. Oh, you lovely people, I love you. Keep trying to take the country down, you know, so you can lay cover for me to do whatever the fuck I'm doing and whatnot, whatever my handlers are telling me to do, and we're good. That's
Michael,
what he said.
Michael, Mr. Benz, I ain't no Prince fan either, but Mr. Prince was the only one that had said Mr. Prince on January 5th had a meeting with Mr. Trump. Mr. Pence probably told Trump, look, I can't be doing this. And Trump said, you better get your ass in gear. I don't want this to happen. Mr. Pence probably said, look, sir, I work for you. I ain't doing this for you. I got a future in this country. Like I said before, I ain't no Michael Pence fan, but he knew exactly what was going on, and he testified that you go ahead and do what you gotta do.
That's right. He didn't know.
I hit it.
Well, yeah, so now we've gotten past 4 to 5 W's, then we get to probably the most important W, Y. Not
Y.
W, not X. Why did they decide to pull this shit when they did? Now, we can talk about losing the election. We can talk about how General Stacey Abrams and her successful campaign gave Georgia to the Democrats. But the real issue now is this motherfucker is a bona fide loser. You know how some people can have things and still not get it right? Well, that's Trump. He was born with all the goodies that society had to offer him
in his time.
White skin. Born where he was and having the funds that he had at his disposal. This motherfucker is a walking clusterfuck. If you're a white man and you fail in spite of all of these advantages that you have in your hand, you ain't shit. And that's exactly what Trump is.
Michael, you gotta say,
Bullshit. That's right. You know he ain't shit. Listen, I do casino gigs, and some of my colleagues happen to be on the love side of Trump. Hey, man, and whatnot, people can have their own opinion and shit. But what bothers me is, like, these motherfuckers have been fucked up the ass with this fool for 4 years, and they still think he's the thing to slice bread in terms of being nutritious for them. No,
he Michael, hasn't. I was looking at our old website, Newsroom.com.
Right.
And 5 years ago, I wrote an article about Donald J. Trump.
Yep.
I told you guys are in trouble. You guys are in trouble.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And here we are 5 years later.
Yeah.
And see, again, sometimes You had to be a genius to know what's coming. I ain't no Einstein, but I can see this coming.
You're right. So now we weigh the 5 W's. Who's responsible? Trump, Cruz, Jordan, et al. Exactly. Well, you know, and it's sort of the cast of characters. What were they trying
Missouri.
To do?
We don't think of Missouri.
Yes. Yes. Again. So
Missouri. Oh, can you really buy it too?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
See.
So
when they go to the Senate, they go to the Senate House.
Mm-hmm.
And defend his nonsense.
Yep.
They need to be out of office. They need to be excommunicated from their office.
Well,
they know.
Yeah,
4,000 people die a day because of virus. 4,000 a day.
Gary,
okay?
You hit it on the head.
This idiot didn't do what he was going to do a year ago.
Think about it. No, you're right. Think about reporting the virus was like last March. You know, people were starting to get worried. They were closing shit down. You know, New York was closing down. There were other cities that were closing down. And people were like half concerned. Because when they started all the other bullshit where the fucking French were saying, well, let's test the shit on the Africans and see if it works. You know, stuff like that was all misleading. But now, here we are, and we have been desensitized to the numbers of people who lose their lives every day. You just
Wait,
said it.
My daughter in Korea,
mm-hmm.
told me when the virus hit South Korea,
mm-hmm.
the South Korean government said, okay, that's it. We're shutting it down right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're shutting it down right now.
Mm-hmm.
They shut it down for three or four weeks.
Right.
They have a total of 144 people died a week.
Right.
144 mm-hmm. compared to 4,000 a day. Come on now.
But Gary, again, this is the bigger issue. We can listen to CNN or Must Satisfy Negroes by Cable or Fox or whoever the fuck else is trying to pretend themselves that they are media concerns and part of the mainstream media, which we know ain't but so many members in now. It still doesn't change the fact that they don't hesitate to tell you because it's breaking news. You know, it's more like broken fucking news. Every fucking day, that at least 3,000 people in the United States have died from this virus. Not half dead, not part dead, not rumored dead.
And okay, my question to you, Michael, is where is the anger? I mean, where people are not getting mad by this?
I know, but that's my point. You hear it now, and you don't even think about it unless you are directly affected by it. The last thing you want to hear are the number of people who die every day. They put the number up on their graphics and stuff, and people think, well, shit, I'm glad it ain't me. But they don't realize that yesterday, before that, 3,000 people had died, and the day before, another 3,000 died, at least here.
Thank you.
That number keeps getting bigger and bigger. We're going to pass probably 400,000 by the end of the month,
if not sooner. My question to the American people,
mm-hmm.
is where are you at? Because... In South Korea, in Singapore,
mm-hmm.
in Hong Kong, in China, we have it.
Yeah.
And the reason is because people told the government, I ain't dying for you.
Well, look, you asked the question, so here's the answer. Because we've discussed the who, we discussed the what, we discussed the when, the where, and the why. But you have yet to get to the how. How the fuck was all this set up? How was it all laid out? And what's the end game to it? Well, as I see it, everybody thinks it's all going to go away. Well, I won't say everybody. A lot of people think it's all going to go away when Biden gets... Wait, hold on. They think a lot of folks are thinking, well, you know, Biden's going to get inaugurated and it's all going to be fine. That's bullshit. No, once he's inaugurated, the strategy shifts. But make no bones about it. This is where I was going when it came to Trump. He was given trust funds. He was literally given a bank as a toy. Think about this.
Yep.
Deutsche Bank and the Germans were bankrolling this guy.
Yep.
Now, I'm not saying all the Germans. I'm talking about the money and the connects on that. Deutsche Bank funded this guy. And this is where I always differ with my colleagues on some of this shit, because he bankrupted 3 casinos. These are people who are working at some of these casinos and had to take jobs in either Delaware or Maryland or further down the pike to continue to work. Yet they defend this asshole. They think he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And I'm in a daze as to why the fuck they would even think like that.
Yep.
So you add that plus the fact that he had money for decades to use at his disposal. And when I say money, I'm not talking about cash in a bank account. I'm talking about the power of the bank itself. How many times can anybody, I'm not talking about just anybody, go into bankruptcy one time and recover? This motherfucker failed 6 times. 6. And it was no big deal. Oh, you know, I'll try something else.
Guess what I read this morning?
What?
He's getting ready to go for number 7.
Of course.
He owes Deutsche Bank $350 million.
Yeah. He owed, and see, it's too big a debt for them to just let him off. He's on the hook. But because because he got exposed, G, he's not going to get away with what he's doing.
They have to
back off from him because his attempted coup did not work. Whoever the people are that he's operating on behalf of a Vierte Reich, which would be a Fourth Reich, just like the third one, but only high-tech bullshit. A Fourth Reich did not work because he was at the head of it. He wasn't Hitler. He was more like Mussolini, a bloviating blob of shit who would talk a whole bunch of stuff and people would buy it. Exactly.
This is what irritates me about all this.
Mm.
You say you have a vaccine. Okay, fine.
Right. Yeah.
You say you have a program called Warp Speed. Okay, fine.
Mm-hmm.
The Biden administration has uncovered they have no reserves.
Yep.
The Trump people did not have any reserves for the vaccine. I'm sitting there, you're lying to the American people. You are lying to the American. You have no backup. If you go down to 0 vaccines, you have nothing left. You have nothing left. What kind of nonsense is this?
I respectfully disagree with you on this point. This cocksucker made money off the American people. No other president did it the way he's doing it now. If Obama makes a speech and he's given an honorarium or whatever for it, that's within the boundaries of what his job is post-presidency. This cocksucker had soldiers being billed at his resort in Scotland.
Yeah, well, thank God for the PGA.
Thank
God for them doing the right thing.
Yeah, but they were double billing him like he was some jobber or something like that, and he was getting a back-end bill or sending a back-end bill for services rendered. No, and you're right about the PGA. The PGA saw that shit, too, and they were like, no.
We're out of here.
The tournament event that they were going to have at Bedminster, which is not far from where I live, has been canceled. They turned away from this fool. And you know, if you're a capitalist in this country, the one thing you don't want to have is money leaving your pocket. And that's exactly why he's bitching up right now, and he's mad as a red hen and shit.
He can't get what he wants now because
that's right.
You know, okay, the LPGA also backed out of a thing. And the LPGA has a lot of power in Asia and Europe.
Well,
you know he's in trouble with LPGA.
they have taken advantage, and they are using their stroke to say no. I ain't mad at them. You know, we're at the point now where personal or group interests are being submerged by this guy, because part of his how was to tap into those basis of emotions that some people were feeling when President Obama was in office. And we can question whether or not he was good or bad.
Yeah.
He did what he did. He is what he is. He was a child of Reagan. See, he was sucking on Reagan's tip. But ultimately, because he was personable, people ignored a lot of that shit. He was smart, got a beautiful family. So on the surface, all of that shit looked good. But it wasn't necessarily beneficial across the board for black folks, and I agree with Reggie on that. But having said all of that shit, there was never any threat. Hold on. There was never any threat to the American livelihood. This is
180 years. One thing that Donald Trump did,
mm-hmm.
which is a southern strategy, this goes all the way back to Goldwater.
Yeah.
Republicans do not like people of color, period.
They haven't
changed that too since 1960.
Mm-hmm.
What Donald Trump did was got a bugle horn and played that bugle as loud as he could. Remember when Charleston occurred, what did he say? What did Winston say? He said, there were good people on both sides.
You mean Charlottesville? Yeah.
That was a bugle horn.
All
right wing fascist racist. And said, you can do what you want to do. I'll back you up. Because I'm president, I'll back you up.
That's right. It was obvious. They even asked him, are you a white supremacist? He never really answered the question. We had people like Stephen Miller and others throwing the white power signs and shit like that. Like they were part of some fucking street gang. We saw that shit. We know they were doing it. We've seen it done on every level. Even though people, there were members of the media were doing that shit. But it didn't change the fact that his how. The how has to do with the fact that the world is getting dark. And during that eight years, while Obama was president, people's emotions, some, hit a serious low. How dare this nigga be in this position?
You can say
they were
there was.
And we know
the record of it.
Quadruple. Yeah, easy. Let's remember this. Heads of state everywhere else are killed by conspirators. Only in America is it some lone nut motherfucker. And that's why this is important this weekend, that people be reminded of what is in front of them. Their area is boarded up where I am down here. And it's only brought up because of the fear that something might go down. That January 6th brought a lot of people flat-footed.
Now, Michael Lewis Ingram, I know what you're saying. I must make this very clear to the Gold Caravan and Soul Patrols.
Mm-hmm.
I do not want anything to happen to Donald J. Trump. And this is the reason why.
Mm-hmm.
If Donald J. Trump gets killed or shot or whatever,
mm-hmm.
he becomes an instant hero. I don't want that low life.
What are you saying? He becomes a moral
hero. Yeah. Any form of fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope he can live these next 3 days, no nobody touches him.
Well, see,
I'm telling you, America loves heroes. America loves reporters. And somebody gets him. We got a problem.
We got a big problem. And the fact that what happened on January 6th happened is really the heart of the problem, because someone allowed it to happen. Somebody facilitated this to go down. And the media can hit all they want about, well, are the members of Congress afraid of some of their own members because they think they'll draw on them and kill them? Well, motherfucker, you saw what happened. That's a definite. I'm not saying that every Republican is out to bust a cat in every Democrat. But you know, there's a handful of motherfuckers that if they thought they could get away with it, they would.
I'm gonna tell you what triggered all this stuff. Stacey Abrams lost the governorship of Georgia, right? Yeah. Okay, right. I ain't gonna go back. I'm gonna beat you at your own game. Stacey Abrams went back home.
Mm-hmm.
Got reorganized. Got refocused.
Mm-hmm.
Got to vote out. And defeated both of the Republicans.
That's right.
Now, the Republican Party was like, who the hell is this Stacey Abrams?
That's right.
Where does he come from? How does he do this?
Yep.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, he did it on sheer willpower and people power. And this guy could have been defeated on people power if people were focused.
Well, you saw in Stacey Abrams and her brilliant campaign what black folks can do. Now, Stacey could have just shrugged her shoulders on that shit. She got even because she really thought she had the governorship stolen from her.
Right.
She went and got even in the best way. She organized her grassroots efforts, manifested over 2 years.
Not just
victory in the presidential race, not just victory in the senatorial races, but victory for democracy.
The history books,
which we know mostly come from Texas and other right-wing areas where they'll print their version of the truth, will never properly give General Abrams credit for what she did. If we're talking about American heroes. I'll tell you right now, she's my hero. That's our badass sister. Within the framework of the white supremacy covering the blanket of this country. She did that in spite of it. So because of that, you better recognize and you better respect her, because you wouldn't be in the position you would be if it were not for Stacey Abrams. We're talking about the South. We're talking about area that was compromised, that they had to create the Voting Rights Act for them to stop the bullshit that they've been doing all the time. Voter suppression is nothing new. They've been doing it in Georgia almost as long as you and I have been on this planet.
For decades. From North Carolina to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
They've been doing it for at least since 1960.
At least. Known before, but at least. Yes. So we know when they gutted the Voting Rights Act, what was that play? Too many times people forget about the state of play because you made these gains, at least gains on the surface. Everybody thinks everything's okay. You catch your breath. But you know these motherfuckers are always on time, always plotting. Always finding a way to take something from something and put it to their advantage. 8 years, some white Americans sat back and said, how dare this nigger run our country? You know, he's an ape. He looks like an ape. Michelle's a man. They sent all kinds of venal invective to these people.
Our first lady can go on a government magazine with no clothes on. Hello?
And they lost their mind. I know. No. Michelle Obama was truly the first Fox. A sweet, beautiful black sister, intelligent, powerful, confident, all that good shit. And the world still tried to make it out like she was some aberration. This is partly what white supremacy has always done. No matter what black folks do. Like I said, the president is now an ex-president. But he's still a nigga to some of these people out here. Make no bones about that shit.
You're right about that.
Behind their back, they're fooling themselves. And I don't think he's that stupid.
Michael, one thing about Obama that people, I think, overlook that Trump is making it very clear. Obama had respect for the office. Obama had respect for his enemies.
Sure.
Obama had the decorum of being a politician.
Right.
This
but
moron.
See, because he had the weight, because he had the power, the presidency behind him, G, they respected him. There was
right.
No way that Vladimir's punk ass would step to Obama the way he stepped to Trump.
You
know, you can see the look in Obama's face. I wish a Russian motherfucker would come in here with some bullshit. Of course, back the fuck up. But you see how Vlad has been endorsed. And silently, while America is quiet, he's sitting here whacking off on it. I'm sure he's exhausted because he must have whacked off at least 3 or 4 times in the last couple of weeks. With what Trump and the idiot minions of his were doing. Meanwhile, in Russia, like Sergeant Schultz from Hogan's Heroes, I know nothing.
I see nothing.
He has not seen anything. Trump's doing all the dirty work for him. This is not a profanity to me. The profanity is the people would think that they would be so naive as to say he's not operating in Russia's best interest. The fuck he ain't. He is Russia's bitch. And we know it. He knows it. The media knows it. And all of them collectively refuse to say a fucking thing. Do you think if Obama had been in a similar position where Russia was sucking his cock or sticking out things in front of him saying, don't you speak, otherwise we'll tell everybody what's really going down with you. Do you think people would have been critical of America by then? Do you think the media would have been on his ass? Fox News.
Yeah.
Fucking thing about what Trump was doing.
Also, the media won't tell you what's going on in the world either, right?
Yeah.
3 weeks ago, right before the January 6th incident, in the South China Sea, mainland Chinese airports, planes, MiG-26s, buzzed the U.S. name, not once, not twice, but 3 times.
They were fucking with
it. Did you hear any of that stuff on the news? No. Nowhere.
They know. They wanted America as vulnerable as possible. And people need to understand this. This is not invective we're talking about. When Liz Cheney said that these motherfuckers were crooked as a dog's hind leg, she reflected the other side of democracy. And I doubt very seriously that I'll agree with Liz Cheney on a lot of stuff. But from a political standpoint, Liz Cheney is like, I can say shit about her ass. She can say shit about my ass, but collectively as Americans, don't you say anything about our ass, because we'll both get in your ass. And that's the process. That's the missing piece that Trump has taken away, because those who rode the racism train, they went in there fully knowledgeable about what they were doing, why they were doing it.
Oh, I want the country back again. Oh, I want my country back.
No, they didn't like that. Some black man was at least the figurehead of the country.
We can't have no niggas coming in there doing that.
Yes. That's really at the heart of it. And then these same motherfuckers who thought they were getting over, you got people in Kentucky, in Appalachia, in the poorest part of the country, thinking that black people are the source of their problems. No. Poverty's the source of your problem, you stupid motherfuckers. And it's been for generations. Black people didn't do that. That didn't change that. And the funny part about it, you're still fucking poor.
He's making
flags for you and all this other shit and MAGA hats, but where are they being made? In China. I mean,
President Johnson told you years ago. President Johnson said, if I can make a white person, a poor white person, understand that they're better than any Negro, including an educated Negro, that's what America is about.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
President Johnson said that in 1966.
Yep. Nothing's really changed. Nothing's really changed at all about that. Now, I know we're going to get into other stuff at the top of the hour with the Cove. Give everybody a preview of it, if you will.
We're going to continue this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about the NFL and where this is going.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean is this. The NFC with the old heads, meaning Brady, Breeze, and Aaron Rodgers, against the AFC Youngbloods with Jackson, Mahomes, Allen, and who's the guy? Who's the Mayfield?
Right, the NFC old and the NFC new. Or the NFL old and the NFL new.
And if he goes through the whole league, that's just happening because I'm trying to think, okay, the Eagles, they had Wentz. He ain't no just been thinking. I'm trying to go through these teams. It's like, wow, this is interesting.
Yeah. But having said all of that, at the top of the hour, we will refurbish this and revisit some of the stuff. And, of course, the playoffs are this weekend. We got wild card action, Rams, Packers, and the Bills, and General Jackson
Ravens.
And the Ravens tonight. Of course, Sunday.
I am really concerned with the Baltimore Buffalo game.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the powers that be do not want Jackson to be in that championship game.
Yeah. No, we alluded to that.
I'm gonna be watching every referee call tonight.
It's not even the calls as much. It's not even the calls as much as the execution, how he does it. If he's successful on the ground early, he's going to catch them off guard, because Buffalo has a good offense, but damn, when they're on the bench, that's what Jackson needs to do. Keep their ass anxious on the bench, waiting to get out there, because when they do that, they're over anxious and they make mistakes. Plus, Baltimore has an exceptional defense, and they're solid, especially in the secondary. Stephon Diggs ain't going to be able to run wild, and Cole Beasley ain't going to be able to convert those third and sixes and third and sevens like he does if General Jackson keeps them off stride, goes downfield a couple
times. General Jackson.
Yes.
You got to have a complete running game. But if all of us had to have a complete running game early.
We got to add to that. He now has a taste of victory. They can't say shit about him anymore about falling and failing in the playoffs. He beat a strong Tennessee team, and now he's going to get another scout, so to speak, in getting both.
You know, you may have a Negro Dallas.
Well, there might be some meat in that sandwich, G. From a matchup standpoint, I think it's a great matchup.
Yeah.
And in terms of the Super Bowl, I saw a link from a travel agency where they had a package for the Super Bowl in Tampa. Now, get this. For only $5,400, you get one fucking ticket to the Super Bowl along with some sort of party and a couple days hotel stay. $5,400. Now, we already know they're not going to fill the capacity of the stadium. I think at best, they might get half in because of regulations about COVID and distancing. But why? Why would you spend that much money on a game that you're not even safe in the environment? I can dig the event aspect of it, but if you're not safe in the environment, how is this going to happen? And there's also one other thing to consider, which I hope you'll talk about at 4 o'clock. Of course, the Martin Luther King holiday is coming here.
Yep.
And from a sports angle, I have to relate this. In 92, I went to my first Super Bowl where they were supposed to play in Arizona. But the governor at the time, Evan Meekum, was a racist piece of shit. And he would not recognize Martin Luther King's birthday. So in the one time that the NFL Players Union had some balls, they said, fuck you, we're not playing in Arizona. And the owners, they were taken aback, but they knew, well, we can't force them, and they shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And within days, they moved their whole apparatus to Los Angeles and Pasadena for the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
In a week, California made about $350 million. So after that Super Bowl, you know what Evan Meekum did? Free at last. Thank God. That's right. Martin Luther King's birthday was a holiday after that bullshit. And Phoenix got the Super Bowl in 96. So, Money Walks and BS Runs the Marathon is still
That's right.
Saver up here, neighbor. Believe that shit.
Hey, that's right. All right, bro. I gotta go exit stage right.
Yes, sir. All right, my brother. Oh, and music-wise, what you got for us for the music box on Sunday?
We got a rematch. Oh,
shit.
Yes, sir.
Is this Tracy and Angie?
Tracy Fletcher and Andrew Mobile, part two.
Can't get enough. I like that overtime action. That's 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. on the Pacific Coast. We'll see you at the top of the hour, G, and thank you.
Hey, thank you, bro. Later.
All right. So, everybody, to review. So I don't want to beat anybody's head over, or beat anybody over the head with this shit, but it must be said. It must be asked. Journalistically, we have the foundation of who, what, when, where, why, and in some cases, how. Just like A-E-I-O-U and sometimes why. Well, we know why. Because these motherfuckers were seditiously attacking our democracy. And folks don't want to buy that crap because of who did it. You know, you can make up stories about what the Black Panthers were and what SNCC was and other black organizations who were trying to achieve humanity for black folks and call them radicals and call them enemies of the state. And you can have self-hating Negroes like J. Edgar Hoover, yes, he was black, the cross-dressing motherfucker, doing things and saying things to upset the apple cart and killing innocent good people. But now you have lived through an attempted coup. This is what supposedly happens everywhere else. It doesn't happen in America, no. You know, Latin America, oh yeah, it shouldn't happen every fucking year. No, but here, no. You know, Hugo Chavez literally survived the coup in less than 3 hours a few years ago in Venezuela. And Giuliani would come out of his ass and tell you that this conspiracy was fueled by Chavez. What kind of horseshit are we talking about here? As my brother Reggie would say, what in the ham sandwich are these motherfuckers saying? Well, here's what they're saying. We would rather destroy this democracy than share it. We would rather say that no lives matter than admit that black ones do. We want to say collectively that we know time's running out. And that's why we'll do everything we can to maintain this foundation of white supremacy to benefit those who benefit from it now. 10 years from now, there'll be a lot more darker folks. Not more brown ones, not more black ones, not more yellow ones. And the pundit squares are going to keep vibing out in favor of those hardier dreams and hardier schemes genetically. And everybody, all you recessive motherfuckers that roll with that bullshit about eugenics, you're going to lose by sheer numbers alone. I ain't making shit up. This is the facts. You can swim on that. But the bottom line in all of this does not stop. Now, to show you I'm not in a nasty mood about this, I will offer some levity for you all to digest and enjoy. Because in recent years, our information has been fed to us by our comedians. Eddie Griffin, amazing brother. I love and got mad respect for him. Trevor Noah, I love Trevor. He really has good insight when it comes to making observations about stuff. Chris Rock, Chris is always on time. So you know where we're going with this. If we have to smile a little bit to kick that part in your brain and let it swim around and say, you know what, if it wasn't for what he was saying and making me laugh, this would be some fucked up shit and I'd want to kill a whole bunch of motherfuckers. That's the same kind of stuff Charlie Parker talked about. If it wasn't for his music, he'd have gone on a fucking 8-state killing spree, and I wouldn't have blamed him. Now, we know there's some funky shit that's going down because the media is trying to tell you shit, because you see the results of it. I see shit boarded up where I am. But I'm telling you, we must remain resolute in all of this. Can't let these motherfuckers get away with this shit. Evil prospers. Good men and women do nothing. But in order to keep your head straight on this, you drop a little Dave Chappelle on you.
Temperature test.
I'm gonna be impacted by my sunburn.
Oh, I don't think so. I've got a few people to ask.
Or you may sit in any of the black chairs that are on the lawn.
Cool.
The tie tops or the.
I hope you all can hear me. Will you guys shut the fuck up? I'm just kidding. That's my family in the back. That's why I did that. Children and stuff. Anyway, this is weird and less than ideal circumstances to do a show. But the only way to figure out if this shit will actually work is to do the goddamn show. So thank you all for coming. I want to shout out all the young people who have had the courage to go out and do all this amazing work protesting. I am very proud of you. You kids are excellent drivers. I am comfortable in the back seat of the car. So carry on, young ones. It's hard to figure out what to say about George Floyd, so I'm not going to say it yet. I'll say something. Are you guys having a good time or is this weird? I gotta tell you, this is actually like the first concert in North America since all this shit happened. So, like it or not, it's history. It's gonna be in the books. At least we tried. There's other comedians who would, well, this is not the first show, but the other shows were like in drive-ins, and if people liked the niggas' jokes, they'd honk the horn. That didn't sound like any fun at all, did it? So what's you guys? You a black and white friend hanging out? Do you guys know each other? It's going to be a quiet car ride home, isn't it? That's good. I'm just kidding. Enjoy your riots. I'm just kidding. They're not really even riots. Have you noticed that? This is a fucking weird time. In like 1993, I'm not sure what year it was, but I was in L.A. I had smoked a joint, and I was watching the movie Apocalypse Now. It was like just after 4 o'clock in the morning, and what later would become the known the Northridge earthquake happened. It felt like it started in my apartment. You know, I'm from east of the Mississippi. On this side, we don't know what earthquakes are about. I gotta tell you something, man. Excuse me for burping. This shit was terrifying. It was absolutely terrifying. A lot of things went through my mind. I was like, not naked, but you know what I mean? Just chilling in my boxes. I put my clothes on. I found my weed and some a pipe and a lighter and some money and my keys, all these things. And while the earthquake is happening, while I'm experiencing what an earthquake is the first time, and I was certain that I might very possibly die. As a matter of fact, I remember I made a point not to scream just in case I lived. I wouldn't have to remember myself being vocally terrified. But I forgave myself for being terrified. That earthquake couldn't have been more than 35 seconds. This man kneeled on a man's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. Can you imagine that? Kid thought he was going to die. He knew he was going to die. He called for his mother. He called for his dead mother. I've only seen that once before in my life, my father, on his deathbed, called for his grandmother. When I watched that tape, I understood this man knew he was going to die. People watched it. People filmed it. And for some reason that I still don't understand, all these fucking police had their hands in their pockets. Who are you talking to? What are you signifying that you can kneel on a man's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds and feel like you wouldn't get the wrath of God? That's what is happening right now. It's not for a single cop. It's for all of it. Fucking all of it. I don't mean to get heavy, but we gotta say something. He told the police he couldn't breathe. One of the hardest parts of the tape to listen to, he said, "Please, I can't tell you, as a man, watching another man go through something like that, what it makes you feel like." I didn't watch the tape for a week. I didn't watch it. I knew. I saw a still picture. I said, "I don't want to see this because I can't unsee it." But when I finally watched it, I understood nobody's going home. Anyone who sees this, well, they're going to be furious. Oh. So the other night, I'm in my little clubhouse, and I'm watching Don Lemon, that hotbed of reality. He says, "Where are all these celebrities? Why aren't you talking?" This nigga said, "Everybody." I was screaming at the TV, "I dare you to say me, nigga. I dare you." Has anyone ever listened to me do comedy? Have I not ever said anything about these things before? So now all of a sudden, this nigga expects me to step in front of the streets and talk over the work these people are doing as a celebrity? Ask me, do you want to see a celebrity right now? Do we give a fuck what Ja Rule thinks? Does it matter about celebrity? No. This is the streets talking for themselves. They don't need me right now. I kept my mouth shut. And I'll still keep my mouth shut. But don't think that my silence is complicit of all the shit these niggas are saying, trying to get everyone to sing these fucking songs. I know all these songs. I was raised on these songs. Why would anyone care what their favorite comedian thinks after they saw a police officer kneel on a man's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds? I can't get that number out of my head because it was my time of birth on my birth certificate. I was born at 8:46 in the morning, and they killed this nigga in 8 minutes and 46 seconds. I watch everything everybody says. I've seen Candace Owens try to convince white America, "Don't worry about it. He's a criminal anyway." I don't give a fuck what this nigga did. I don't care what this nigga did. I don't care if he personally kick Candace Owens in her stinky pussy. I don't know if it stinks, but I imagine it does. And if I ever find out, I'll let you know for sure. I'll tell like Azealia Banks, I'll tell. I'm the worst. But I know why. I figured out why they want to hear from me, and it's serious. The only reason people want to hear from people like me is because you trust me. You don't expect me to be perfect. But I don't lie to you. I'm just a guy. And I don't lie to you. And every institution that we trust lies to us. How come they never talk about Chris Dorner? That's a story about a man who believed he did everything right. Do you know who Chris Dorner is? Well, Chris Dorner, if you remember, was an African-American police officer in the LAPD. He was executing a warrant with his partner, who was a white woman. And white women, I support you, but boy, if y'all don't shut the fuck up. During the process of executing this warrant, this white woman did what Chris Dorner thought was excessive force. I don't know what she did. She kicked the motherfucker that was handcuffed or hit a guy that was handcuffed or something. But Chris Dorner, the black police officer who watched this white woman do this, reported this to his superior, made a formal complaint, and was subsequently fired from the LAPD. He went through the system. He took every legal avenue that he believed he had to get reinstated. And he was not reinstated. And when his last appeal was finished, this motherfucker, some wild shit, wrote a manifesto. You know where this is going. And in that manifesto, he called me a genius. Me, Dave Chappelle. Not just me, but me. He said, Kevin Hart fan, too. But he called me a genius, and he told Bradley Cooper, who's a friend of mine, don't do any more hangovers, nigga. That's enough. That's what he said. And he told his story. Chris Dorner told his story, how he did everything right when he was in the military and subsequently everything else. This is before any of this shit happened. And then he said, which was the wildest thing, he said, I'm going to wage asymmetrical war on the L.A. Police Department and their families. What's an ominous thing to say? And he did it. This motherfucker ambushed two police officers who were just sitting in their squad car, murdered them. He went to another police officer's house and killed his daughter. Boy, it was terrifying. And this motherfucker was on the run. He was doing it. I was supposed to do the Grammys. I was supposed to present at the Grammys that week. And a guy from the LAPD called me and said, Mr. Chappelle, we understand you're coming to Los Angeles. And I don't know if you know, but there is a lunatic on the streets who is killing police officers. And we would like to know if we can pick you up at the airport. We're extending this courtesy to everyone he mentioned in his manifesto. And I told the police, I'm fine. I read the manifesto. He likes me. Is there anything I can do for you, nigga? Because I'd be very worried. They found him. Big Bear. He was hiding in a cabin. When they figured out what this nigga was, no less than 400 police officers showed up and answered the call. And boy, let me tell you something. They Swiss cheese this nigga. He is as dead could be. He is done. And you know why 400 cops showed up? Because one of their own was murdered. So how the fuck can't they understand what's going on in these streets? We saw ourselves like you see yourself. It wasn't the only one. LeBron James once said something about racism, and Laura Ingraham, which I will say publicly anywhere, anytime, is a cunt. Tell him I said it. Told one of Ohio's greatest residents ever, shut up and dribble. Tell you something about LeBron. This nigga was on the cover of Sports Illustrated when he was 17 years old and exceeded every expectation that they had for him. This business is treacherous. this is a good guy, LeBron. He's a family man, and this, that, and the other. He didn't let anyone down. He didn't let anyone down. Came back to Ohio, won us a championship, and it was like, I'm going to move to L.A. And everyone in Ohio was like, nigga, we understand. It's a good man, LeBron James. This bitch told my friend to shut up and dribble. My friend is the best at something, and this bitch is not the best at anything. She's a regular-ass white bitch with a platform. And I use the word bitch all the time because it's black. You watch one shooting after another. Eric Garner in New York, first guy that told the police, I can't breathe. Eric Garner was selling loose cigarettes in Staten Island. When my kid was born, my first son, my wife lived in Staten Island. It's an awful place. She knows that everyone who's ever been there knows it. Yuck to Staten Island. And my black ass will go there, and I got a lot of fans there and friends there, but it's a very terrible place. Fuck everybody in Staten Island except the Wu-Tang Clan. Got murdered by one police officer while five of his fellow officers watched him do it. Not one of them said, Frank, take it easy, none of that shit, because they were being recorded. Because they were afraid if I correct my fellow officer on this camera, it's going to open us up for some kind of liability. And the guy killed the person that they were, what do you call it, apprehending? The guy was selling loose cigarettes. There goes Eric Garner. And then we have one after the other. Trayvon Martin gets murdered by just a regular nigga that... George Zimmerman is nobody. George Zimmerman is an awful human being. Threatened Beyonce's life. He threatened Jay-Z's life. He signed Skittle bags because Trayvon Martin had Skittles on him when he was murdered by George Zimmerman. Boy, how do we feel? How do we feel right now? This kid was 15 years old being followed by a grown man with a gun and whooped his monkey ass. He beat the shit out of George Zimmerman, and George Zimmerman murdered him. We were very upset. This kid looked eerily like the president. He looked like my own children. I hate George Zimmerman. As an idea, not as a guy. I've never met him. I'm sure I would, though. Hit the streets. We got the marching. Dylan Roof killed 8 people in a church in Charleston, South Carolina. He prayed with them first, and then he shot them at point blank range. Goes on and on. And then one weekend, a law-abiding citizen right here in Beaver Creek gets murdered. The cop that murdered John Crawford pulled me over the night before and let me off with a warning. And the next day, kills a kid. He says, drop the weapon, bang, bang, bang. This kid didn't even have enough time to register that he was the one being spoke to. This is our hometown. It happened right here. I was very proud to be your neighbor. I love the way you guys hit those streets. He said his name and tried to make sure everyone remembered him, but he got lost in the sauce. And this guy, John Crawford, was a saint. He was there buying shit so him and his kids could make s'mores. But Michael Brown got shot the same week, and Michael Brown became the story. And then, am I boring you? Well, then, right back in Minneapolis, there's Philando Castile, a law-abiding citizen who was a registered gun carrier who was trying to show the police the paperwork for his registered weapon and was murdered in front of his wife and his child. And then, right in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Just 2 days later, it happens again. And what do you think is going to happen? 3 days later, 9 cops get murdered in Dallas at a Black Lives Matter rally. Wow, I'll never forget it. It was the first time I ever thought, I got to get my family the fuck out of this place. These niggas will never understand. I'm tired of explaining to these people something that's so goddamn obvious. The guy that killed those 9 cops, just like Chris Dorner before him, was from our military. And then right after he did it, another 4 cops were shot dead in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Again, a black man that served in our military. What are they doing? Why would our guys do that? Black people from the military? Because they believe, just like they did when they were joining the fucking military, that they were fighting acts of terror. These are our people. These are our countrymen. If I were white and saw one of these men get murdered, and I was in the NRA, why wouldn't I stand up for them? A card-carrying legal gun owner that gets murdered in cold blood because he's black. That's why they don't give a fuck. There's only one time the NRA ever supported an assault weapon ban. You know when it was? It was when the Black Panthers stormed the state capitol with assault rifles in California. Candace Owen, that rotten bitch. She's the worst. I can't think of a worse way to make money. She's the most articulate idiot I've ever seen in my fucking life. She's so articulate, she can tell you how fucking stupid she is precisely. And she told George Floyd's rap record on the internet, oh, he was this, he did that, and he's a drug addict, and he's not a hero, and why does the black community make him a hero? Why do you choose him as a hero? We didn't choose him, you did. They killed him, and that wasn't right. So he's the guy. We're not desperate for heroes in the black community. Any nigga that survives this nightmare is my goddamned hero. This is not funny at all. I got some pussy jokes too I could do, but I just really just... Slavery is a really wild concept. It's some weird shit. The night that those 9 police officers were killed felt like the end of the world. And the only reason that it wasn't the end of the world, in my opinion, is because at the very same time that was happening, Kobe Bryant was playing his last game as an L.A. Laker. And as scary as all that shit was, I kept flipping back to see if Kobe would drop 60. And he did. Oh, and he did. And vaguely in the back of my mind, I remember the idiot-ass bitch telling somebody to shut up and dribble. And I watched this nigga dribbling and saving this goddamn country from itself. I loved Kobe Bryant. He died the day I won a Grammy, he died. That's why I didn't show up at the Grammys, because Kobe died. They had both of his fucking jersey numbers hanging up, 824. Well, that's my birthday. Crying like a baby. So here's what I said on Saturday Night Live that I got completely wrong. At the end of my set, I talked about how few black people were invited to the White House, how Frederick Douglass was the first, and that it didn't happen again till Roosevelt. But that was wrong. It happened one other time before that. Woodrow Wilson. Woodrow Wilson received a delegation of African Americans at the White House. They were from South Carolina. There was a man who was lynched for a $30 dispute at a grain elevator. And they killed him because the nigga was rich. And they hated him for being more wealthy than they were. And they murdered him. And the people in South Carolina said, fuck that. And they went via the governor of South Carolina. It was a black delegation that was facilitated to meet with Woodrow Wilson. That delegation was led by the AME Bishop, William David Chappelle. It's where I get my name. It was my great-grandfather, who was a slave when he was born. These things are not old. This is not a long time ago. It's today. It's today. That man's wife was the woman that my father called on his deathbed. And they were slaves. Are you out of your fucking mind if you can't see that? And these niggas say, why isn't David Chappelle saying anything? Because David Chappelle understands what the fuck he is seeing. And these streets will speak for themselves whether I'm alive or dead. I trust you guys. I love you guys. We'll keep this space open. This is the last stronghold for civil discourse. After this shit, it's just rat-a-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat. I love you very much. Thank you for being here. Good night.
Hey, when are you going to throw a little light on this play?
This is not quite a standard operation. I mean, run as tight as you are.
You mean is that each of us knows only his own job?
Put it in any words you like.
Well, the company must be running a couple other teams. Are we number one?
Two teams only. And there's a good chance that you'll see action. Maybe before Thanksgiving.
How soon will we find out what the options are?
The probabilities for success are almost 100%.
And like the Bay of Pigs.
Now, look, you're a high-risk man. You're on contract. Your men are all experienced in black operations. You take your chances and you get paid for it, and damn well.
Okay, Jim.
I'll tell you this much. I've never seen a better cover plan in all my life. Every man jack of you will be out of the country within 36 hours. New passports, new identities. Plus $25,000 each just for spending money.
I like that. Tell me more.
You'll stay out of the country for 2 years. You'll receive $25,000 a year via Switzerland for the next 5 years.
All of us?
I said every man jack involved in the operation. And 5 years from now, on January 2nd, 1968, provided no one has broken security, each man will find $100,000 in his own personally numbered Swiss bank account.
Jesus. You just told me who we're gonna hit.
This nation was founded by men of many nations and backgrounds.
Okay.
It was founded on the principle that all men are created equal, and that the rights of every man are diminished when the rights of one man are threatened. My fellow Americans, this is a problem which faces us all, in every city of the North as well as the South. Today, there are Negroes unemployed 2 or 3 times as many compared to whites. Inadequate education, moving into the large cities, unable to find work, denied equal rights. We cannot say to 10% of the population that you can't have that right. Your children can't have the chance to develop whatever talents they have. That the only way that they're going to get their rights is to go in the street and demonstrate. I think we owe them, and we owe ourselves, a better country than that.
The computer threw out 14 possible goats, or sponsors, as we like to call them. A young man named Lee Harvey Oswald seems the best. Born New Orleans, 1939. Father dead. Mother remarried and divorced. Boy was placed in an orphanage for a while, then shunted about with his mother till he was 17. You can start now, Tim. He has a remarkably muddled political record that could be steered strongly to the left.
On October 24, 1956, 7 days after his 17th birthday, subject enlisted in the United States Marine Corps.
Attended Aviation Fundamental School at Naval Air Station in Jacksonville, Florida, studying basic radar theory, map reading, and air traffic control procedures. Began studying Russian language and taking pro-communist attitudes. Fellow Marines called him Oswaldovich and Rusky.
In the Marine Corps? Not a chance. Preparing a cover for him.
Naval intelligence?
Either that or CIA.
Go ahead, Tim.
Arrived in Yokosuka, Japan, aboard the Bexar for assignment at Atsugi, 20 miles west of Tokyo.
Isn't that where we monitored the U-2s over China?
And a lot of other stuff.
Court-martialed on June 27th for pouring a drink over a non-commissioned officer's head and use of insulting language. Confined 28 days at hard labor.
Only 28 days? They're not only giving him a cover, they're fixing him a phony.
On August 17, 1959, he requested a dependency discharge on the ground that his mother required his support. Discharge was granted September 11.
Well, that was easy.
Easier than you think. Watch this.
To get the discharge, he needed a doctor's affidavit. Otolaryngologist Marvin Danvers gave one, saying he started treating Oswald's mother on September 5. Even though his letter is dated September 3.
I'll be goddamned.
On the same day, September 4, Oswald applied for and received a passport. Quote, in order to attend Albert Schweitzer College. Unquote. Passport granted. Good for European travel, including USSR. Arrived in Moscow October 16. Ordered to leave USSR by 8 p.m. October 21.
The Ruskies weren't buying.
Slashed his wrist same day. Taken to Botkinskaya Hospital. Released a week later. Visited U.S. Embassy on October 31. Stated his determination to revoke American citizenship and turn classified data over to the Russians. Can find no record that Embassy tried to dissuade him from handing over classified material.
How much did he actually have?
Location of all bases on the West Coast, radio frequencies for all squadrons, all tactical call signs, strength of squadrons, number and type of aircraft in each, names of commanding officers, and the authentic code for entering and exiting the ADIZ radio and radar ranges.
Jeez.
On January 4, 1960, Oswald receives permission to remain in the USSR for 1 year.
They're beginning to buy.
On January 5, he is given 5,000 rubles and assigned to work at the Belorussian radio and television factory in Minsk.
They've bought.
In 1961, he writes a series of letters to the embassy concerning possible return to the United States.
When was Power shot down in that U-2?
May 1, 1960. He was there all right. But I'm not sure there was any connection. They've been spotting our U-2s for a long time. Thanks, Tim. I'll take it from here.
Right, Mr. Farrington.
On March 17th, he met a young lady, a graduate pharmacist. 6 weeks later, they were married. As a result of Oswald's letters, the State Department informed Embassy that for security reasons, Oswald should be given a passport. There was a long wrangle with the Russians about exit visas for his wife, but everything on our side was as smooth as silk. The Embassy issued a passport. They lent him $435 in traveling expenses, and he passed through immigration June 13, 1962, en route to Fort Worth.
Did anyone meet them in immigration?
A representative of the Concerned Traveler Society named Ralph P. Waterford to help them through customs, or so he said.
That name familiar?
There's a Ralph P. Waterford known in Taiwan as the Secretary General for the World Campaign Against Communism, Inc.
Now, who would have sent him?
God knows. You get into that area, there's so many little double and triple headers, yet you can't count them all. Tim? All the intelligence agencies have files on him. He was interviewed twice last year by the FBI that we know of. And there's a report out that the State Attorney General and the Dallas District Attorney I've got him labeled as FBI informant number S172.
He could be. Defecting, coming back, running into no trouble at all. He could be anything. CIA, Office of Naval Intelligence, anything. Lowest possible echelon, of course. A few dollars here, a few there. Possibly a little doubling.
Listen. On January 27th of this year, he bought a mail order Smith & Wesson 38 under a phony name. And in March, he bought a mail order 6.5mm Mannlicher Carcano rifle. In May, he was distributing Fair Play for Cuba Literature in Dallas.
Can we rely on a character like this?
We're not relying on him. We're using him. I've got someone placed very close to him.
Get a little air.
Go ahead. I want to check the stock market, of course.
Real problem is this, James. Two decades, there will be 7 billion human beings on this planet. Most of them brown, yellow, or black. All of them hungry. All of them determined to love. They'll swarm out of their breeding grounds into Europe and North America. Hence Vietnam. An all-out effort there will give us control of South Asia for decades to come. And with proper planning, we can reduce the population to 550 million by the end of the century. I know. I've seen the data.
We sound rather like gods reading the Doomsday Book, don't we?
Well, someone has to do it. Not only will the nations affected be better off, but the techniques developed there can be used to reduce our own excess population. Blacks, Puerto Ricans, Mexican Americans, poverty-prone whites, and so forth.